Welcome to Corporate Cafecito, a podcast based on professional development, career growth, and respecting our cultural identity. Welcome back to Corporate Cafecito. Yo soy Nayeli Suarez Guest. Bienvenidos. And with me again is Carlos Diaz, because if you know one thing about this show is that when I hear somebody say something, I'm like, ooh, we need to have you back because you need to explain that. So Carlos, in his last episode, we were talking about, you know, trusting yourself and not seeking validation from others. But then he talked a little bit about his journey from Silicon Valley to, and is it Silicon or Silicon? Or is it both?
Silicon, I guess.
Okay. What? Okay. So, and moving down to the LA area, but one of the things that, you know, we always try to touch on, we have like navigating corporate America, but then we also have like the entrepreneur side of, you know, corporate cafecito. And so I guess, Carlos, you were talking about like Yelp and Google Business and the SEO, which is search engine optimization. Tell us a little bit about that. What does that mean?
So the best way to think of that is when you, me, and millions of people, when we go and we search Bing, Yahoo, Google, and we're looking for a local barber, we're looking for restaurant reviews, or businesses that do whatever we're looking for. A lot of search results come up. Some of that is paid, some of that is organic, and some of that is a mix of the two, which is called hyper-organic. And so businesses, they always look at how can I improve my restaurant, my therapist, my, you know, solar contractors, etc. And so what I do is a combination of two. First, I kind of look at the lowest hanging fruit, and then we go all the way up to paid ads and a high level SEO. So one thing that I usually like to share, and I share this on social media a lot in some of the groups that I belong to in LinkedIn and Facebook, is telling people here are methods you could do right now that you don't need to pay someone for. And some of it might be technical, but some of it is actually very simple. And so I'll just give three very quick ones.
Perfect. Something that everyone we love free has, advice.
Right? And this is stuff that you can do. And if it is a little technical, you could probably Google search it. But, you know, everyone has a website and they're probably paying for it. So what they don't realize is the back end of all platforms, whether it's Squarespace, WordPress, High Level, whatever, they all have organic SEO on the back end, meaning they have descriptions and images you can put up and things that explain what you do. And this actually exists for every single web page you have on your website. It's not just the homepage. So you can have a description of your services. You can have a description on the back end of how to contact you, case studies, blogs, whatever. Ooh, blogs, that's something I'll mention too later on. But optimize the back end of your website, number one, so that the keywords that are related to what you do are peppered throughout your website.
Okay, pause. When you say optimize that on your website, you mean like have, like if I do coaching, put coaching all over my website, like that word, or?
Yeah, but what type of coaching do you want to do that? So if I was a photographer and I did portrait or landscape photography, or I photographed architecture buildings, I wouldn't put wedding photographer, you see? Because then if people are searching for wedding photographers, you don't want that to come up. And especially if you're paying for this, that's where optimization really helps, because if a lot of hits are coming, or if you're coming up under the search results of wedding photographers, you want to put those as negative keywords. That way you stop coming up because you're paying for this. But organically...
How do you put something as a negative keyword?
So that's through paid ads.
And okay.
So I can talk about that.
All right, we're still in the free one, right?
Okay. Yeah, we're in the freebie. But yeah, you want to make sure that the right keywords for you, if you're doing like, if you're focused maybe on women in corporate world, that coaching, then you could do that versus health and well-being or physical fitness coaching. So you do want to narrow down what it is you do, niche down basically. And it's okay. Don't ever feel like you want to cast a wide net because you're going to miss the opportunity of speaking with a new lead. I would rather be upfront of who I do not want to work with and hyper-focus on who I do want to be a lead that comes into my, you know, website traffic, et cetera. So it's okay. Niche down and speak exactly to what it is you do. That's going to help the performance of, especially if somebody's in the same city as you and they're looking for, you know, a plumber or somebody who hyper focuses on tankless water heaters. Like if that's what you put on your site, you will be as one of the search results, which means you didn't have to pay for it. You just did your homework. Two other platforms, which to me was step two and three, but we can group them together, is Google My Business and Yelp. These two are very, very effective. Google My Business, because it's in the Google ecosystem. So it's going to look within its own platform to find search results. And if you have a profile and an account there and you've optimized it, you put things in there, you keep it up to, by optimization, by the way, I mean, like keep it updated, improve it. If you have certain holiday hours, just put certain holiday hours. That way Google knows that you're always going in there, and same with Yelp. You're always going in there and you're always updating it and you're optimizing. You're keeping it up to date so that it knows.
What do you mean by up to date? Like how often should we be updating our websites, et cetera?
You can update it by holiday hours would be one thing. Number two, if you have a service or a promotion that you do want to promote, put it on there, even if it's seasonal. And blogs would be another perfect example where you want to update that. And there's two reasons for blogs. Some people think like blogs is just kind of a waste. You're just blah, blah, blah talking. But no, it has a purpose. Number one is if, remember I said earlier, keywords and keywords on your website based on what you do. Well, if you had one keyword about solar panel installation versus 500 keywords on your website about solar panel installation, you're going to get more hits having 500 words versus somebody having 10. And that's the benefit. Yeah. And that's the benefit of blogs, where the more keyword rich it is about what you do on all your blogs, then the more content you have online about what you do versus someone who doesn't. And someone Google or Bing or somebody searches and you have X amount of keywords that explain what someone typed in under their search versus someone who had 5 or 10 keywords, then you come up. And so there's a benefit to it. You could also use that as what's called a reference link. And so if you have paid traffic going to a website versus a lot of people are going to a website organically without having to pay for it, Google sees that as that's the public's interest. Like everyone is very much interested in that. And I need to make sure that I promote it as well. If you pay for it, yeah, you pay for it. Of course, you're going to promote it.
So then they'll be promoting it almost like for free for you.
Right. And so if I sent you an email, you're in my subscription list, and I send you an email. I send emails every week. And I have 300 people in my audience group. And I send an email, and it says, here's how we saved a client, you know, over $1,000 in the first quarter of the year by installing these solar panels. You know, we did, I'll give one example. Read the rest of the article on our blog page. And you have the link that takes them to the website page of your blog. Now, let's just say even 100 of those 200 people click read it and they click it. That's 100 people that went there organically. You never paid for it. And so Google sees that as, what's this traffic going to this website? It came from an authentic, what's called a reference link, an authentic reference link, which means it didn't come from a paid source. It came from an organic source, email or a blog site or something else, or even social media, where it drove people to your site. And so that traffic was free and it benefited you. And that improves your SEO rate and even a grade that's given to you.
Okay. The other day you and I were talking about this and I was like, well, what if you get a bad review? Like that feels awful, especially when you're like on Yelp, right? And say what you told me the other day today.
Yeah, you can't get rid of it. And let me give you the reasoning behind it, and then you'll see, I get it. Well, the reasoning behind it is you can't get rid of it. I would respond to every review you get. If you get great reviews, hey, thank you very much. We appreciate your feedback. We were glad that we were able to help you on your, you know, 2013 Honda Accord. Just be very detailed, because GMB and Yelp will be like, these people are
I have a 2013 Honda Pilot. How'd you know?
And they know that you're interacting. Definitely respond to the ones that don't. And there's two ways to respond. Number one, sorry you were unsatisfied. Or sometimes, and I see this with some of my clients, is they look up the name and they don't see that in their account, whatever. So you might want to respond with, you know, your name does not come up in our records. Are you sure this was the right thing? We'd appreciate, you know, hearing from you directly. Feel free to call us. it looks like you're trying to alleviate the problem, whatever it was. And so that benefits you as well. Now, on the back end, you can flag it so that Google or Yelp will understand, I don't think this is legit because there is spam out there.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And they might look at it and flag it themselves. However, they may not remove it because it affects their algorithm. What they might do is suppress it so that it doesn't show up as much for the public, but they will not remove it. Now, what I just said is very authentic and genuine.
Yeah.
So let's look at the other side of the coin. If you search somebody, do you want to know or do you want to feel like their bad reviews have been suppressed and removed on purpose just so that they seem more legit? And the answer would be no.
Probably not. Yeah.
And that's what makes these algorithms so genuine is when you go to Yelp and you see their grade and their score, you know it's 1000% true. Nothing has been masked. Nothing, you know, so you get 100% validation and authentic review that what people are saying about them is real. So that's the benefit you get. And that's the reason why that algorithm works the way it does. And so that as a business owner, I don't want that to happen. But as me searching businesses I've never heard of before, and I'm seeing what people say about them, I want to get the real. I don't want nothing that's been tampered with or hidden just for the sake of looking better. So
sometimes I'll look at things and I'll see like a restaurant and then I'm like, oh, it's only had 4 reviews. So I try to stay, I have like this benchmark and I don't know why in my head it's like 100. So if it has over 100 reviews, cause I think like 4 reviews is like your cousins and your mom, you know, but once you have like 100, I feel like you can't get 100 of your friends to put a review. Do you have a scale of after this number, it feels more real?
Personally, no. But professionally, for example, I have a new client out here in LA, an attorney, and they have a Yelp page and they have, I think, 10 or 9 reviews. And I'm like, yeah, it's really good, actually. And it is because I can compare them on the back end as a Yelp agency partner. I can see things other people can't. But what I tell all my clients is don't spend, for example, to answer your question, don't spend money on Yelp ads until your account is a little bit more improved. First thing I would do is I would tell clients, you know, if you have past clients, send an email to them and ask them to, and I got to be very cautious about this, but ask them to give your past services that you've provided to them a review, and either on Google, Facebook reviews, Yelp, Trustpilot, whatever, but ask them to give a review. You want to build up that organic part of your account and your profile before you spend money on ads driving it there. So that when, you know, if you paid ads and you had one review, it's like, why were you promoting one review versus if you paid, you know, for traffic and you have, you know, 50, 80 reviews, it's like, oh, wow, these people are legit. You have a different mindset. One thing I do want to flag about this is Yelp is extremely cautious about not requesting Yelp reviews. That goes back to my original point about authenticity. And so that's why you see their stickers and everything, find us on Yelp. And they use that wording very, very carefully. So if you put on your
email. So you're not allowed to solicit someone?
Nope. And that's what makes them authentic. So again, as a consumer, when you go on there, you know that it is authentic and that it is original.
I didn't know that. That's great.
And that's why Yelp is so popular. That's why they're so trusted, is because they've covered that. So if I had a link to my Yelp page on my email and I said, hey, to a client, provide me a review, Yelp sees where it came from. If you went on Yelp and typed in, you know, solar panels of Southern California located in LA, everything was absolutely organic. Whereas if somebody landed on my page and they gave me a review, Yelp algorithm sees where it came from. It came from a hyperlink that I provided to somebody. It's not authentic. And they're going to flag that.
And be like, no.
Yeah.
Okay. So then even in Yelp, there's two different kinds of reviews. Like they'll say like, here are the reviews, and then there's like unauthenticated or something. There's another one where it's like they're hidden, almost not hidden, but it's like you have to search for them. And they're very like accounts that are either deleted or have you ever seen that? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, but I think what you're explaining is even Yelp will do their homework, and if the review came from an unverified source, then they might flag that on their own before you do it as a business. So you could say as a business, the account's legit who left the review, but you could say, I don't think this is a true customer. Maybe someone's just like your competitor is trying to, you know, badmouth you, versus the original source doesn't seem original or authentic, and Google or Yelp has flagged it somehow.
How do they do it? Like, I've seen the cancel culture, and like they'll, like a company will say something and lots of people feel very passionate about it. So they'll go on that person's or that company's Yelp page and they'll all give it like 1-star ratings. What happens then?
Yeah, that I don't think you can really avoid. It's kind of like, how do I know my email is going to land in the inbox and not the junk folder? You really can't control it. However, with the algorithm and the settings I just mentioned, if it is malicious or something like that, then yeah, it might flag it on its own. But as a business owner or as a brand, I would definitely comment on it. And if you know that backlash is coming because of whatever, I mean, you could, you know, try to pivot from it, or at least address it rather than just running away from it or trying to, you know, pretend it doesn't exist.
Hide it, push it down.
So try to control the narrative as much as you can. But yeah, that's a very good point.
Yeah, I've just always, and you know, the other thing is, like, I think about who leaves reviews, right? We leave reviews when we've had usually a very bad experience. We are more prone to give reviews than versus when we've had a great experience, right? If everything goes great, then it met expectations of us going out for dinner, right? I went there, it was an amazing restaurant. I'm not going to go back and leave a review because it met my expectations of what I wanted out of this restaurant. When it doesn't meet expectations, that's when we are more vocal about what happened. Do you see that a lot in like the SEO world?
Yeah, I think one way to capture that is capture the experience while they're still in it. The other thing too, for example, I have a client out here, which they deal with pet services and it's actually not a good situation, but it's you know, a bad situation when pets are ill and stuff like that. But I, as a marketer, I can find ways to use copyright to leverage certain things. And for him, he's like, I don't know how to ask someone to leave me a review once they've just gone through this experience with their pet. And I said, harness that. Don't run away from it. Leverage it. And he says, well, how? I said, well, they went through a difficult time right now with their pet. The service you provide is very unique. And I said, why don't you ask them, you know, would you please mind sharing your review with us? Because this will help other people who went through the same thing you just did. And when they're trying to research, you know, something for something as delicate as this, they want the best industry. And if a lot of people are leaving great reviews, it'll help them make a decision a lot better, a better informed decision. And they see the light. The customers saw the light. They're like, yes, of course, I'll do it right now.
That's a good point.
And that ramped up his reviews immediately. So again, be creative and use copyright to leverage the strengths of your business, not necessarily like, I don't know how to ask this. And his reviews went through the roof for the, you know, from that moment on.
That's great. Yeah. I love that. You know, I always talk about, we're different people. So even if we're having dinner or going someplace at the same time, we're going to have two very different experiences.
Have organic SEO. It's chisme. That's what
we have. But there was this journalist, I want to say in South Dakota, and they were getting like their first Olive Garden. And she wrote about how like it was so amazing and it looked like a Tuscan villa. And like it was just like the best place ever. And the garlic breadsticks were so warm. And so, you know, that like went viral because she was, you know, she was so like high on Olive Garden. And then, you know, people, then you see like her 5-star versus like a 1-star, like, you know, oh, this and this. And I disclaimer, I do eat at Olive Garden. but you know, it's like both are true, right? Like someone could have a great experience, someone could have a different experience. But I think what you're sharing is really important because you're right. Sometimes, especially as small business owners, we want to make sure everything is perfect and understanding that sometimes it's not going to be perfect, but running away from it or trying to hide or not taking those reviews or trying to remove them may feel like inauthentic.
Yeah. And there's certain things you can't control. Like we all travel. And mm-hmm. we've seen the widgets that are integrated with some travel sites like TripAdvisor, where, you know, you'll see the reviews. And when I'm traveling somewhere and I'm looking at a hotel or something, I've become trained to avoid certain reviews, even if they're five star. So mm-hmm. if someone's complaining because, you know, they had to wait more than 5 minutes for someone to get to the front desk, well, how busy was it?
Right.
You know, if somebody complains that the neighbors down one floor lower than them were partying, is that really the hotel's fault?
Yeah.
Right. But if it was like there was no hot water, great. You know, they're guilty as charged.
That's
but
bad. Yeah.
If they're talking about, you know, a view and it's like, well, the hotel only has so many views and you really didn't complain about that, then to me, that's not valid. But that's me as a business owner, as a brand ambassador. But yeah, you sometimes you can't control what people are going to say. And that's why I think addressing it as a business owner, then you can acknowledge it. And sometimes mm-hmm. people just want to be heard. And if you right. acknowledge it and you give your perspective as of, you know, we only have two sides of views to our building. Mm-hmm. We'd love to have you, you know, facing the pool next time or something. That way it kind of just shows like, it's not really our fault, you know?
Right. Yeah. We didn't do it, but we'll try to help you.
There are ways to, and I think that's why addressing every single response, it does help you.
Yeah, so, no, that's fair.
And these things we've talked about are off-page SEO. In other words, things that are off of your page that drive traffic to your page. Mm-hmm. On-page is your website, back end of the website, things that you can control, like email if it's integrated with it. You know, you can control. So there's off-page, on-page, and then there's, you know, paid services that, you know, like I do. And it really depends on, are we doing SEO so that we can give you an online strength, or are you an enterprise and we have to give you like high level SEO, which is absolute overkill and sometimes not even necessary if you're a small business. So there are different levels of SEO based on the business. But one thing I do want to debunk is a myth of like, oh yeah, I have to invest 6 months worth of, you know, before. And to me, I'm like, no, I always tell my clients, you're going to see the needle move in the first 45 days. And that makes them feel like, nice. Oh, okay, I'm getting a return.
Right away.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, let's start with low hanging fruit. Let's get things going. You're going to see the difference in a month or less than 2 months. You're going to see it. And then it just ramps up from there. So the myth of 4 to 6 months or whatever, it's mm-hmm. that's when it's streamlined at that point. It's not like we're just starting to get like one click. That's not the, at least that's not the way I've paid.
So yes.
If you aren't paying someone 6 months and you haven't seen a return, then call me.
Then yeah, then we have a different problem.
Yeah, it is.
So tell me a little bit about what you do specifically.
So the best way I'd explain to people mm-hmm. is I'm a growth marketing agency and that's focused on growth. Mm-hmm. I do focus on B2C service providers and entrepreneurs, which are businesses that are dealing directly with the customers. So attorneys, contractors, therapists, plumbers, businesses that need the phone to ring, they need booked appointments, they want their calendar to book up, they want their contact forms on their websites to get completed and infilled. That's what I do. And so I do it by a number of ways, which is SEO being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
The other one being email automation, which is, again, web and email. Everybody's got it, and they're already paying for it.
Right.
And it's not doing anything for them. So there's several businesses where I've taken their, and what I call it is unlocking your digital assets. Your digital assets are web and email. I don't have to create it. You probably already have it. But the first thing that I do is I turn that into a revenue generating channel for you. So if your email is just sending outbound images and that's or messages and that's all mm-hmm. it's doing, then it's not serving you. We turn right. that into a money-making machine. Your website is a 24-hour employee. If it's not talking, engaging, downloading, subscribing, if it's not doing all that, and it's just a page that shows that you're still in business, then it's not serving its purpose. So I start with those two things, improve them, optimize them, start improving their SEO. And until that foundation is strong, then I start getting into, okay, now let's start leveraging some paid media. But everything is strategic. So if I have two attorneys in LA, it's never cookie cutter because they have different objectives. They have different narratives. They have different budgets. They're trying to accomplish different things. And so it's never cookie cutter, but that's why I look at it and everything is custom based on where you're at and where you're trying to go. And then we're going to use these channels to get you there. Once we do that, then it just makes it more predictable.
Is there an optimal time as a small business? Like once you get to like X amount of clients or X amount of months or years in business that they should be focused on their web presence or connection to their clients? Or is this like a day one should be part of your strategy for marketing?
I think it should be. Now you could say 80% of our traffic comes from, you know, paid ads, 10% comes from, you know, site traffic. So it's all relative. It's holistic, mm-hmm. but that's the first thing a lot of people see about your brand is actually your website.
Yeah, website. Yeah.
Or a landing page. Some people, maybe just a one page landing page will do. And I would say, yeah, leverage that as well. It doesn't have to be a 18 page website, but it speaks to your audience and it should educate them and clearly state, without trying to find the needle in the haystack, it should clearly state what you do. And to my point earlier, talk directly to who you want to work with, even if mm-hmm. it means you're calling out who you don't want to work with. That's going to save you a lot of time and it's going to get you to a warmer audience a lot quicker.
Yeah, no, I love it. Carlos, thank you. Thank you for sharing this because I know when you and I were first talking, I was just like, yeah, I don't know what that is. Like, I don't need it. Like, do I need it? So I feel like when I have a question, I'm sure maybe other people have had the same question. So I appreciate you coming back and teaching us a little bit about what you do. And, we hope to have you again soon.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. And I think when you and I first talked, one of the things I personally felt is, and we talked about it very briefly, was, our family, our people, our community, where it's not that we don't have the drive. Sometimes we just don't know how to do it. And if I can help them connect the dots a whole lot quicker, I find so much satisfaction where sometimes I'm like, you know what you're doing, you just need to do this. And
right.
It just really helps them see or receive so much clarity on like, oh my God, I'm starting to get results. And it's like, yeah, it's really all you had to do. But people focus on the big picture of paid media where it's, if you're not ready for that yet, don't worry about it. But you can get results very quickly by doing just a few small steps.
Yeah, I love it. Well, if you want Carlos's contact information, look in the body of the Corporate Cafecito, like about this episode, and you'll have the links to get in touch with Carlos and see how he could help optimize your business. So Carlos, gracias. And
gracias por todo.
We'll see you soon.
Thank you.